living and that it's active, that it's sharper than any two-edged sword. Why? So it can pierce through the darkness, so it can pierce through addiction, so it can pierce through all the nonsense. Now look here, we're here to take care of some unfinished business. Now, I am a realist. People say, man, I don't know what that blonde preacher does. I don't know what she does. Let me tell you what I do. I keep it real. Now, I'm going to keep it very real because, see, I don't want to be up on your pedestal. There's a place that's only for God. Your pastor does not belong on your pedestal. You can admire me. You can love on me. But look here. God is the only one I want to be in that heart of hearts, see? Because, see, God's the only one that can turn a bad situation around. He's the only one that can heal your body. He's the only one that will bind up your wounds. He's the only one that will go into the courthouse before you ever go up inside of there. And guess what? I'll be the first one to tell you I don't belong in your pedestal, but the living God does. I have no other gods before him. Hey, amen. Are you here to have church? Are you here to be the church? The church is not this building. We'll get this thing looking just as pretty. We'll get all the giveaway groceries that we can get. But at the end of the day, baby, you are the church. It just got real. That's scary because, you know what? I say, God, I know that you said I'm the church. Lord, I woke up on the wrong side of the building. Now, here's something that I want to say right here. I'm going to try to get everybody to be comfortable. Brother Charles has served this church for over 30 years. He gets cold on this side, boys. You're going to have to turn it off over here. If you have the fans on, you're going to always turn them on over here. I don't know where the brother where he is, but by golly, when he gets up in here, I want him to be comfortable. I care about Brother Charles. Look here. Brother Charles, you know how many times he got onto me in my childhood? Countless times. One time I told him to shut up. He was sitting right over there, and he turned around, and he goes, young lady, you need to be quieter. I'm going to tell your dad. I didn't skip a beat. I said, Brother Charles, shut up. Let me tell you something. That was the worst whooping I ever got. We took care of that right there in the back office. He got no clue what we're talking about. I was just bragging about you, brother. Y'all stretch your hands toward Brother Charles. Lord God, in Jesus' name, God, I ask that you would add years to this life. God, I thank you for the years that he's served you. And God, I thank you that he's got good years, more good years, and that you've added to this life right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, look here. I don't know about y'all, but I kind of woke up on the wrong side of the bed this morning. I don't know how the stars align and that happens, but here's what I do know on a serious note, that the Bible says, you know what? That before the Word of God is even spoken forth from the pulpit, that before the Word tries to get up inside of you, the enemy is already there to try to get that Word to be even stolen from you before it ever gets to you. Now look here, you could be sitting there, I don't even know what got me in this morning. I'm not sure. I don't know if I got all my rest, enough calories in yesterday. I'm not really positive. But what I do know is this right here, God wants to speak to you this morning. God wants to minister to you. Now look here, we're going to pray a prayer because I'm going to gamble. I may not be the only one that woke up. You didn't have to wake up in a bad mood, but you may have just woke up feeling some type of way and see, God needs your heart to be open, to receive that word. And so if you're sitting up in here and you're thinking, man, I don't feel good, or man, I this, man, I just woke up and I'm irritated. I woke up and I'm sad. I woke up some kind of way. I want you to stand up wherever you're at. Because see, look here, God wants you to receive the word of God that he's about to pour into you. And if you've got all up in your emotions, look here, Gina, the devil doesn't want you to hear what God has got for you. He don't like that. He don't want people activating the word of God. Amen. Lord God, in Jesus' name. God, I rebuke the devourer right now in Jesus' name. God, I thank you, Lord, that you put all of us in the right spirit right now to receive your word. God, I thank you that we are all on good ground, God, that we are good ground to receive you, to receive your word. God, I thank you, Lord, for all the honest people in here that said, hey, there's something up with me this morning, and I want to hear the word of God. I want to receive it. God, help me. God, help me. in Jesus' name. And God, I thank you that you've helped us. God, I thank you that you have put that right spirit in us. And God, we're going to receive that word, God, and we're going to activate it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, one of the things that I am very sensitive to is the fact that while we're living in this world, there are things that cause us to fear. There are things that cause us to worry, to stress, and to have anxiety. God wants you to have something different. He wants you to have something different. He don't want you to be worried, stressed out, anxietied out. And I want to look at worry. I want to address that stress. I want to address the anxiety that comes up in you. Sometimes you don't even know why you're anxious, but there you are and you're all jittery and you're just, see, God's got something different. How can I preach about that? Because I live it. You don't think I get anxious sometimes for no reason? Yes, I do. Man, I am a very wired up person. I get anxiety just thinking about having anxiety. And then I think, why do I got anxiety? Well, because I set the pace for it. Let's go to Luke chapter 10, verse 38. We're going to look at some life issues. We're going to look at life issues. See, we're going to preach about something that actually happens. Luke chapter 10 and verse 38. And it says, As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. Now, I'm going to ask you a very simple question. Have you opened up your home to the living God? Your physical home? Most importantly, this home right up in here. This home right up in here. See, we've got Martha, and here's Jesus, and here's his disciples, and he's walking. And he's going, look here. You know what that's called, what Martha did? Hospitality. Hospitality. She opened up her home. Now, I don't know about y'all, but sometimes I'm like, oh, I would invite so-and-so over, but my house is messy. I mean, you invite somebody over and they're a clean freak and they're going to be like, oh, goodness. Or, I don't want to invite that person over. They got too many kids and they're going to drive me crazy. No, baby, you need to get over yourself and get you some hospitality going, because see, what would Jesus do? He would open up that house and he would say, hey, come up in here and sit on my dirty couch. You get bored, you come over here and fold this laundry with me. We're gonna open up this house. We're going to get this thing going on. See? You think Jesus was messed up over how Martha's house looked or how it didn't look? No, he wasn't. But see, she opened up that house. She had him and his disciples come on up in there. That's hospitality. That lacks in the church. It lacks in this church. Lacks in the church down the street. Lacks everywhere. Why? Because people are looking for every reason not to open up their life to give it to somebody else. They don't want to open up their life and give it to God all the way. We want to keep a little things, and then we're like, oh man, those people got enough love out of that 30-minute sermon. They don't need me. Yes, they do. The church, you're the church. See, sometimes people don't get enough love in a 30-minute message. They need somebody to say, hey, come over here. I'm going to wrap my arms around you. I'm going to love you. I ain't going to judge you. I'm just going to be with you. I'm just going to be with you in this moment. What do you need prayer about, Sally Sue? You know? It's time we get real. Real deal, right, Sophie? And so here's Martha, and she's opened up her home, and she had a sister called Mary. I love sisters. Love them. Let me tell you something about girls. They're going to always be ratting each other out. Ain't that right, Casey? One time, Dad left me with Casey, and I ended up with some black eyes, and she was like, here's what we're going to tell him. She knew Daddy wasn't going to like giving me them black eyes. Look here, one Christmas, I think I gave her two black eyes. That is no joke. We blacked each other's eyes several times. But look here, anybody messes with Casey, you're going to see the devil come out because I got her back. She said, this is what we're going to tell Dad what happened with that black eye. This is when I was dumb. She goes, what she really did, I think she just whacked me. She whacked me a good one, man. And she said, we're going to tell Dad that we were having a Bible study. That's where the story went very wrong. We should have known right then and there that one was not going to float. She said, Kelly, she was the smart one and the quiet one. You got to watch out for smart, quiet folks. They black you eyeballs. She said, we're going to tell him we was doing a Bible study and that we really got into reading the Word of God. And we got into it so much that we began to fight over that Bible. Once again, I was very gullible back in my day. She said, and we fought over that Bible, and I just let it go, and you just whacked your eyeball. I said, man, I look up to you so much, that's exactly what we're telling them. He asked us about four times, Kelly May, now tell me again, how'd your eye get black? Daddy, we's reading that Bible. We's having a Bible study. We was getting close to Jesus. And all of a sudden, something come over me where I wanted that Bible, and I just yanked it from her and whacked my own self. That's when you know you love your big sisters, when you're like, I hit my own self and blacked my own eyeball, okay? Don't feel bad for me, because I had plenty of times. Daddy used to keep them dogs on chains, and I used to, when I would get mad at Casey, I'd just go let the dog off the chain and watch her go run around and get him. We had bunk beds. I liked to pee the bed. I had plastic sheets. I'd get mad at her. DJ, I'd just pee the bed and it all just run off. Right up into her bed. Look here. When you're the baby of the family, you got to learn how to defend yourself. And then I had a baby in Colton. All he got to do is one move. Look here. When I get a hold of Carson, I'm going to body slam him, and I'm going to sit on him, and that's it. That's all that's needed. But look here. You got sisters, okay? So we got Mary and we got Martha. Martha opened up her home, and here she is. And see, when Jesus comes to your house, what we want to try to do is we want to try to impress Jesus. And we want to be like, oh, my house is clean. Oh, my life is so good, God. All this stuff. Really, we need to keep it real with God. We need to go, God, my house, my physical house is a mess. And God, I'm a mess. And God, I want you to come up in here anyways, because I know that really at the end of the day, you're the only one to clean up this mess. See, we got to keep it real. So here she is. She got Jesus living up in there. She trying to feed him some tea and crumpets, probably trying to impress him. And she glances over out of the corner of her eyeball and sees her sister. And it's like, she ain't helping. She ain't helping me. And she said, now she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet. And she was listening to what he said. See, Mary was listening to what he said. Many people, they say, God, I want to do your will. No, you don't. Because, see, he done told you about 37 times what you're going to have to do to be in his will. See, and you think you're smarter. You think you don't want to do that. Whatever it is. But, see, look here. This woman, she went up there and she just began to listen to what Jesus said. Listen to what he said. Now, her sister didn't like that. So, here's Mary, and she's listening to what Jesus was saying. And it says, but Martha was distracted. How many of you ever distracted? she was distracted because of all the preparation she was trying to make for Jesus. Sometimes we will get ourselves so distracted by the things of God that we're trying to do for God that we forget, hey, at the end of this gig, it ain't really about what I can physically do, man. If I'm not listening to the voice of God, all this other shenanigans, man, I can go up down into the jail. I can do all this stuff. I can hold these Celebrate Recovery meetings. But at the end of the day, Brother Larry, if I ain't sitting there listening to what God's telling me to do, if I'm distracted by all the preparation of the ministry, there's still a problem. See, you can be doing all this good stuff, but if you ain't really slowing down enough to tune in to what God's trying to do, you're going to miss it because you're distracted. Was Martha trying to do a bad thing? No. But it got her distracted. Just the preparation of the good thing she was trying to do got her distracted off of really what was the most important thing. God tells me all the time, Kelly, don't get so busy doing work for me that you forget me. I'm going to say it again because somebody didn't catch that. God has to tell me all the time, Kelly, don't get so distracted by doing all this stuff for me that you forget me. Amen? You catch what I'm trying to say? And it says she got distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. See, a lot of times we think, oh, that has to be done. It just has to be. Well, why does it have to be? Do you think Jesus really cared about them muffins? No. You think he cared if her kitchen table was cleaned off? Probably not. But in her mind, that had to be done. And here she is running up around. She's catching her sister. She's working and she's catching that sister doing nothing. She's getting irritated. It says here, she came to him and she asked, Lord, don't you care? God, don't you care? Have you ever asked God, don't you care? God, don't you care about this? Don't you care about that, Lord? That's a dumb question. Because yes, God cares. Yes, he cares. He cares exactly what you're going through. Not only does he care about it, Aunt Sharon, but he knew we would go through these things before we ever started going through them to begin with. So the fact that we wonder if he cares, let me tell you something. Yes, he cares. Yes, he cares. He cares more than you'll ever know. More than you'll ever know, he cares. And it says, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work? What she was really saying is this right here. God, Jesus, look at all this stuff that I have done for you and she's doing nothing. She has left me to do all the work. Anytime that whatever you're doing for the Lord turns around and it's all about you, that's a problem. Do you hear what she said? Me. She left me to do it all for you, God, but I'm going to take it because I love you, Jesus, and I'm just going to put up with it. And you begin to just self-glorify yourself. Poor me. I'm the only one doing this for Jesus. I'm the only one vacuuming the floor for Jesus. I'm the only one doing this stuff, but it's for Jesus. No, look here. The same, when the Bible starts talking about the tithe, look here, it says, with a cheerful heart. See, you're going to do something for Jesus. You best be up in the right spirit. And when it turns into self-glorification, that is your first cue. You in the wrong spirit. Getting petty. Look here, Andy, women be petty from day one, okay? We are petty creatures. It's just in our makeup, our genetics. It's not literally in our makeup, so don't get confused, Andy. Okay? I hope it ain't in the makeup because I don't need no help. I'm petty enough off all on my own. But here she is, and she's saying, she's left me to do everything for you, Jesus, and don't you care? Let me tell you something. You want to serve God? You want to do something for God? You want to get up into your community? Stop bringing yourself to the spotlight, because only promotion comes from God. Real, real spotlight, it comes from Jesus. See? It can't be your motivation. And so when it don't go right for you, when you're trying to do something good for the Lord and you're having a little adversity, somebody ain't helping you the way you think that they should, you need to get over that. You need to get over it. And she said, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself?" Jesus, tell her to get up and to help me. Now, in my house, when Jeremy sits down, I don't like that. He tells me, "You've got something, some type of something up in your brain, woman, to where when I sit down to rest, it's like even if I'm not around you, you instantly know it and you come up with something for me to do." Donnie's going, "Sonny's got the same thing." But boy, when he starts resting, it starts getting up under my skin. Because I'm like, "Lord, we both working up in this house. Don't you care? He's in the recliner right now." And then he'll go, "God, now he's snoring. See, that's just tempting me, God. Not only is he sleeping, but now he's decided to snore just to rub it in." And then I'm like, "Jeremy, don't even think about the fact that the man done drove an hour and a half to support me and his two kids." I leave that out most of the time. I'm like, "God, don't you care? He's not doing nothing in this house." Because once again, I'm more worried about the house being clean so I can get people and be hospitable to them. See, I got to quit worrying about what y'all think about my house. God said, "Kelly, I want you to do a Bible study." And I was like, "I'll do it at the church, Lord." He said, "No, I want you to do it up in your house." God, I don't want to do that. Because that means I'm going to have to clean every Tuesday. And that's too much pressure, because I'm kind of non-committal. And I don't like to commit to having this house clean every Tuesday. Y'all ladies getting a witness? He said, "Kelly, you need to invite people into your home. Because look here, I gave you that home, number one." And God did. God had to move mountains to get me that house. He held that house empty for 2 years. 2 years, yes, Carson Paul, you was too young to know that. But he said, "I want you to invite people up into your house, Kelly, because I'm going to grow this church. I'm going to grow this ministry, but I don't want you getting too haughty. I don't want you getting a big head. I want you to invite people up in your house, because see here, people want to see how their pastor lives. People want to see that I got the same dirty underwear up in my house as you do. And it's all his." Okay? Why is it important for people to know that? Because look here, Miss Deborah. The moment you realize that there ain't nothing wrong with you, there ain't nothing wrong with you. We all people here. So you're going to get somewhere in your life, because you get to realizing that, you know what, God, I ain't gone too far. God, I ain't done something so wrong that you don't love me. Now, God, I see what you've done in this one's life. God, you can do it for me. See, God's not somebody that holds a favoritism. Whatever, Sister Sharon, whatever he'd do for me, he would do it for you. Whatever. See? But cares about what you're going through. That's no question. It's never been a question. The question is you. The question's you. The question's me. So when you're doing things for the Lord, you can get stressed out and worried and anxietied up. When you're doing things in your life, you can have all of a sudden you got this stress and this worry and this anxiety, and you're thinking, "Oh my gosh." And then one little kink, like somebody, you don't think they're helping you enough, you get all grouchy. I said we get grouchy. Still ain't no amen. We get grouchy. We just get straight up grouchy. I mean, this morning I woke up grouchy. I don't even know why. The day will probably go by and I won't know why the whole day. Just I woke up that way. Okay? God said, Kelly, you better surrender to me before you get behind that pulpit. See, because that's my pulpit. You better get yourself in the right spirit. I said, God, put me in the right spirit. God, help me. God, how I am right now, it ain't right. Change me, God. Help me. Help me not to have this stress. Sometimes you wake up with stress. Sometimes you wake up with depression. Sometimes you wake up with fear. Sometimes you wake up with anxiety. You don't think God cares about that? Man, God cares more about the things that are going on up in his mind than you'll ever know. He cares. He cares. And it's and so he said, Martha, Martha, you're worried and upset about many things. See, you ever notice how you get all, something be wrong with you? And you woke up that way? And you get around somebody like your husband or like your boyfriend or like your girlfriend or whatever they are to you. But Kara, I ain't prying. I want to claim ignorance. What's going on, God? Whoever. And you're going to get irritated. But you see, the problem is we woke up that way, something happened, we got a certain way. And one person does something to us, and we want to act like it's all on them. And Jesus is going, look here, baby girl. You concerned and you irritated about many things. See, don't blame that on your sister. See, the problem really is you. You got lots of stuff going on. You got lots of stuff going on. And see, you've jumbled it all up, and now it's all Mary's fault. Martha, you're concerned about a lot of stuff. Let's keep it real, Martha. You're concerned, and you're mad, and you're angry about many things. And he says, but only one thing is needed. Only one thing is needed. What did it say? She was distracted by all the preparations, all the things that we got to do, Casey, to make our world go around. All the stuff for these kids. Getting them here, getting them there, getting them their $10 for this. Then tomorrow you're going to turn around, it's $20 for that, and you're going, that wasn't like that when I was a kid. You didn't got to have money every day for school for some nonsense. But see, and then you get all worried about your finances and all this stuff, and then you get, and then you just, somebody come up in and you just have a moment where you're, look at that jerk. Don't you care they ain't doing nothing, God? Or you'll start comparing yourself because, see, that's what she was doing. She was comparing herself and she was saying, Jesus, look at me and what I'm doing and look at the fact that she ain't doing that. Anytime you compare yourself to somebody else, to something else, God always tells me, Gina, he doesn't call me Gina, but he says, Kelly, don't compare Paris Christian Center with any other church. Stop it. See, you don't think God's got to get a hold of me on a regular basis? Yes, he does. I didn't get this way overnight. What does that mean? It ain't going to be fixed overnight. See, when you choose to compare yourself with somebody else, with some other family, with some other marriage. Oh, how do they get to go to Florida every year? I make more money than them, and I'm suffering. See, these little things that you allow yourself to compare things over, and God's going, that ain't got nothing to do with you. You're distracted by lots of stuff. You need to stop that. And he's going, only one thing is needed here. You want to go to Florida? Don't worry about how the Joneses are going to Florida. Baby, go to Florida. Have some forethought and put $20 back. See, we like to do this comparing thing, and then we wonder why we're in a bad mood. It's because we've compared ourselves to somebody else all day long, and we're coming up short. When you compare yourself to anybody else, you're going to come up short. Why? Because you ain't never going to be that person. And look here, they're probably looking at you thinking, if I could just be them. See, we got to learn how to be comfortable in our own shoes or we're going to have some anxiety. We're going to have some worry and some fear and some stress. You be you. You get you right. Don't worry about what Sally Sue's doing. That's irrelevant to us. We've got to get ourselves straightened out. He says, you're concerned about many things, but only one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen the better. And I'm not going to take it away from her. Jesus could have said, Mary, you get your lazy butt up and go help your sister. He said, Martha, let's keep it real. Don't blame this on your sister. You upset about lots of stuff. You upset about a lot of stuff, and it don't have nothing to do with Mary. And I ain't going to take away what she's getting out of hearing me speak to her. See, you go to comparing yourself, that's going to breed anxiety. Anxiety is burst out of stuff like that. But one of the things that I can say about Martha that she did right is this right here. I'll have to take my jacket off for this because it's about to get real personal. And I'm sweating. I'm a sweaty girl because I'm so high strung. One of the things that Martha had going right is you didn't see Martha up in the kitchen telling everybody else the smack talk about her sister. She went straight to God. Said, Jesus, she's called him out. Jesus, she's over here doing this and she ain't helping me. Tell her to help me. Now, she could have went to all the other people up in the kitchen and gossiped about it. See, that's what we do. We'll have a problem, and we want to tell everybody about it. Well, we want to tell everybody that's going to see it our way about it. Okay? That's what I do. I'm like, I'm going to call the next 5 people that's going to agree with this. I ain't calling them ones that ain't going to agree with it. I don't want to hear that. I want to hear somebody that's going to come into one mind and one accord with my shenanigans. I want somebody that's going to agree with me being mean to Sally Sue. No, she talked to Jesus. She went straight to him and she said, look here, she's doing this. You need to tell her, stop and come help me. See, the next thing that was big that happened up in your life that you had a problem with, if you would just go to him, go to him, go to him. See, we keep going to everybody else. We keep vomiting up all this stuff. We wonder why nothing changes. Because you've left out a little piece to that puzzle. And it ain't a little piece, it's the biggest piece of all. You got to go to God. You got to go to God. Jesus wasn't mad at her. He didn't say, you are petty. He said, look here. Yeah, I care. But she's doing the right thing. You're worried about a lot of stuff. You're cranky because of a lot of things. It's not just your sister. It's not just this. You got that anxiety up in you, Mary, because you've got that anxiety. You wound up tight. You're getting all worked up. See, some of this stuff just comes up on us, and we got to go to God and say, God, I woke up on the wrong side of the bed this morning. It ain't nobody's fault but mine. God, I was a jerk to Sally Sue. Let's just call it like it is. I was a straight-up jerk. God, I said things that I shouldn't have said. God, I've done things that I shouldn't have done to her. God, I made her life miserable, God, when I didn't have to, and I just did it for the heck of it. See, if we go to God with this stuff, we could get rid of some of this unnecessary anxiety and fear and worry and stress about some stuff. Because the question is not, does God care? The question is, what else are we distracted with? See, when you're thinking, oh, I got a problem with my husband. I got a problem with my girlfriend. I got a problem with my boss. I got a problem with that coworker. I just don't like them. What do you really have a problem with? What is it really? What is it really? Let's just get real. See, it's probably a problem with you and me. We can take this account. This is not a story. This is not a fable. This happened. And we can say, what are the good things that Martha did? She just went directly to Jesus. She said, she ain't helping, and I don't like it. And I want you to do something about it. And he said, let's keep it real. You worried and stressed and irritated about a lot of stuff. It ain't your sister, and I'm not going to mess your sister up just because you're getting your little feathers ruffled, okay? There's only one thing needed in this situation here, Martha, and she's chosen the better thing, just to sit at my feet and just to hear me and listen to me. Does some of the stuff in your life need to be done? Yes, it does. Sometimes God just wants you to rest in Him. Sometimes He just wants you to take a minute from the dishes, take a minute from that Netflix, take a minute from working out in your garage, take a minute from tinkering with your truck, take a minute from whatever it is y'all do, whatever it is I do. And He's just wanting you to take a minute and just be like, you know what, God? I'm just going to be with you. God, I'm just going to be with you. I'm just going to spend time with you, God. God, I'm going to talk to you. It's funny how you can't be talking to God for too long and keep that fear in your heart. Why? Because perfect love casts out fear. You get to talking with God. He gets to telling you how much He does care, how much He does love you. That fear can't live up inside of there with that. Those two can't dwell up in there together. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. We're going to look at verse 16. And it says, now may the Lord of peace Himself. See, there's certain things only God can give you. Peace is one of them. Peace is one of them. Now may the Lord of peace Himself give you peace. Give you peace. When does He want to give you peace, Diana? At all times. At all times. Read that. May the Lord Himself give you peace always, in every way. In every way. He wants to give us peace, Gina, all the time, in every way. All the time, in every way. See, we think, God, don't you care what I'm going through? God, don't you care the stress that I'm feeling? God, don't you care that my heart is absolutely broken? Yes, God cares. He cares. And He's saying, I want to give you peace all the time, in every way, in every situation, in every circumstance. Because the pure essence of God is peace. He is peace. It's not that He can give you peace. Yeah, He can do that. But He actually is peace. When He says, I want to come up in there and I want to live in there. What did Martha do? She opened up that house. She let them come on in. See, you got to open up. What, you know what I do a lot of times? When I'm feeling a certain way, I say, God, I invite the spirit of peace to come up in this heart that's very troubled right now. God, I want to tell you that I love you. God, I want to tell you that I know that you're coming through. God, it don't look good right now, but God, I know that you've got something good. God, everybody's against me, God, but I know you're causing me to stand. God, I'm having an emotion right now, and I can't hardly contain it, but God, I know that you're going to help me have that self-control. See, look here. You better talk to that fear. You better talk to that anxiety. You better talk to that frustration, and you better tell it to line up with what the Word of God says to you. The Word of God says, look here. There's a lot of things going on with you, but if you'll choose the one thing, that's the only thing that you need. That's the only thing that you need. See, we're looking for answers in all the wrong places. We're looking for answers all up inside of other people. We want to blame our problems on everybody else. Look here, you best own your life. You best own it, and you best, what? Look, well, look here, Tessa. After we own it, we give it to Him. When we own it, we then give it to Him. You give it to Him. Why? Because see, whatever's up inside of there that's grieving you, the Holy Spirit wants it. The Holy Spirit wants it. When that fear tries to come over me and just cripple me, I say, God, in Jesus' name, I'm getting this up off of me, God, and I'm giving it to you. God, I'm transferring this to you right now. Now, I'm not going to lie. There's sometimes that stuff don't want to go. Sometimes I'm like, ugh. something really get up under your skin, I'm like, I'm going to have to call somebody. They're going to have to help me pray this off. I'm really being terrible. And I'm going to call people that I know they ain't going to tell me just what I want to hear. I want somebody that's going to come into agreement with this thing coming off. See, when you can say, God, I got this fear and this worry and this stress, and it ain't mine. God, it's yours. God, I'm giving it to you. God, I know that you care. God, I know that you want to help me. God, this is me choosing you. See, choosing God is not something that you do one time when you're 7 years old. You choose God every day. Sometimes we get up in life and it becomes every minute. Sometimes we got to just wake up and say, God, this is one of them days I can feel it. The devil's trying to get me to act out. I'm about to act up. God, help me. See, when you can catch that coming up over you, that spirit of fear, you can cast it out. Don't let that stuff stay up in you. It's going to eat you up. It's going to eat you up. You ever feel it coming over you? It's just eating you up from the inside out. You just feel like, and you want to rip somebody's head off when really the problem is you ain't got enough money to pay that electric bill and it's causing you to be moody. You're taking stuff out on your partner, your husband, your whatever. Really, the problem is you just frustrated with your life. Let's call it what it is. Why? So we can get it out of us. If you'll call it what it is, we can get it out. You're going to deny, it's going to stay. It's going to just stay there. You ever see somebody really want to be free? You know what they stop doing? They stop denying that. They're like, I got a problem. You can really tell when they're getting really in a certain phase, they'll tell you everything. And I'm like, look here, sister, I'm not a Catholic priest. I'm just a little old blonde Arkansan pastor. I don't even need to hear all that stuff you done did. Please don't tell me. I won't be able to sleep at night. So I've already got problems because I'm too high-strung over my problems. It's not a requirement of this job to hear all of y'all's. Now, if I need to hear it and set you straight a couple times, I will. But let me tell you something. You need to be telling that stuff to God. You need to be telling that to Him. Because ain't nobody move a mountain like God can. Ain't nobody fix your real problem. Notice how I said your real problem. Ain't nobody fix those real problems like God will. Cast all your cares on God. Why? Because He cares for you. Because He cares for you. A lot of people got a bad vision of God. God's wanting to whack me over the head, man. I done did that secret favorite sin of mine, and He's mad at me now. No, He ain't. Now, I'm not up here giving you a free pass. I'm just up here saying, don't live in condemnation. Live in conviction. You got something that you keep on doing? Get that right. Get it right. But look here, God ain't looking to whack you over the head with that. I'm not saying He likes it. I'm saying He ain't the God of condemnation. Why? Because people don't change under those circumstances. People don't change when they feel condemned. They change when they feel convicted. When does conviction come? When you can feel God's love. That's when it comes. When you can come up into church service and you can rest easy thinking everybody ain't looking at me because I'm wearing my stripes wrong. They know I got busted for whatever last week and everybody's looking at me. No, I want you to be able to come up in here and just sit. Why? Because I trust enough in the Word of God to know, DJ, I ain't got to be up here behind that pulpit talking about all sorts of stuff that I know people's doing wrong, because you know what I know more than that? There's a lot of stuff that I don't know that people, everybody looking all whatever, and they probably got more bad stuff going on than the stuff we actually know about. That's what I've learned. 34 years in the ministry, that's what I've learned. Some things are obvious, and then some people are real good at hiding their stuff. The sad thing is Sam the deacon's the only one that'll admit up to all the bad things that accuse y'all of. So it says, I want to give you peace at all times and in every way, in every way. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. We're going to look at verse 7. I want y'all to catch this right here. For God did not give us a spirit of fear. Fear is a spirit. It's a spirit. When fear comes up over you, it's a spirit. God did not give you a spirit of fear. Now, if fear was not a spirit, he wouldn't have said, that's a spirit. But he calls it out. He said, I didn't give you a spirit of fear. See, some of this stuff that we're dealing with is spiritual warfare, because it's a spirit trying to come up over us. He said, now, I didn't give you that spirit of fear. But what I did give you, see, what I offered to you was a spirit of power. Power. He also calls that a spirit. In Genesis, he said, look here, I've given all this stuff to you. Walk in dominion. See, he gave you the authority. He gave you the authority. And we're walking over here with our heads hung down because we're afraid that people know what we did. Look here. God knows what you did. He ain't messed up about it. Okay? Everybody else being judgmental about it, they don't matter. I tell you, they don't matter. They're irrelevant. I didn't give you that spirit of fear, but I did give you a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a sound mind. A sound mind. That fear is living because that mind ain't sound. That stress is coming because, see, we indulge in some of them crazy thoughts. We're like, ooh, my mind's going willy-nilly and I'm going to let it. I like worrying. You ever notice how you're like, I'm so stressed because I'm worrying, but then when you're like, I could choose not to worry about this, and you're like, oh, no, I'm going to worry about it. That worry is mine. I'm going to get that. I'm going to worry about that. I'm going to let it cost me 4 hours of sleep. He said, I didn't give you that spirit of fear, but I did give you a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a spirit of a sound mind. See, at any point in time, you can say, Holy Spirit, I welcome that sound mind up in here. You having a problem loving somebody? Holy Spirit, I welcome the ability and the spirit of love to come all up over me and to get over it. So we got to know what he gave to us. Last place for me this morning, Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 1 through 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us. I want to tell you that it's hindering you. It's hindering who you are. It's hindering who God wants you to be. It's hindering your family life. It's hindering your finances. It's hindering your health. Look here. God said, I come that you would have life. And that not only that you'd have life, but by golly, I came that you would have it in abundance. And I ain't talking about money. I came that you'd have enough love to give to people that you call your enemy. I came that you'd have enough health where you felt secure enough to lay your hands on somebody else and believe God for the healing that they are in need of. See? Since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us. Now, I want to tell you something. God's called you out this morning. God's called you. You've been sitting there, and you're thinking, I have this problem. I got that problem of worry. I got that problem of stress. Man, that mind just wants to go willy-nilly. I can feel that mind just starting to act up. Getting me off on in left field. God wants to deliver you. God wants to help you. See, God wants you to walk out of here knowing that you've got that spirit of power, that you got that spirit of love, and that you got that spirit of a sound mind. Sound mind. I'm gonna get Pastor Jeremy to come on up here with me. We're going to pray. If you need prayer from your pastor, if you're having a problem with fear, if you're having a problem with worry, if you're having a stress with that anxiety, God wants to minister to you today. God wants you to walk out of here feeling like, you know what? If you'll give it to me, if you'll do the one thing that's required of you, I'm going to step in and I'm going to help you. Now, we're going to wait just a second. We've got 5 minutes here. If you need prayer over that mind, if you need prayer over that fear, that worry, that stress, that anxiety that tries to come up over you, you don't even want it there, but here it comes. See? We want to pray for you. We want to pray for you. Why? Because, see, God said that you can have something different. God said you can have something bigger, something better. God wants to help you. God's here for you. God wants to reach up inside of their heather and take that out. How do we do it? We lift up our hands and we begin to say, God, you're taking it. God, I have it. I'm giving it to you. Y'all lift your hands. You place that thing in your heart. You got it there, Pastor Jeremy. Lord God, in Jesus' name, God, I thank you for Casey, God, and I thank you right now that that fear and stress and worry and anxiety, God, that it's leaving right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for everything that you're doing, God, inside of her right now. God, I thank you that this body lines up with the Word of God, the Word of God, Lord, that says she's healed right now in Jesus' name. God, I thank you for Bella. God, I thank you that that fear and that worry and that stress, God, those emotions, God, they're coming out. God, you did not place them there. And God, you're taking them right now. Lord, for Sam and Cindy, God, I thank you right now. Y'all offer that up to God. See, because God's taking that this morning. He's taking it from you. Offer it to him. Lord God, in Jesus' name, God, I thank you that you're taking that out. God, I thank you for the spirit of peace that's coming all up over your children right now. God, the spirit of peace. God, the spirit of love. God, the spirit of a sound mind in Jesus' name. God, I thank you. Lord, I loose your deliverance right now all up over her, God, in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you, God, that she walks in divine peace right now. Deliverance. In Jesus' name, a sound mind. In Jesus' name, that anxiety go. In Jesus' name, that fear go. In Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you. God, we're calling it done right now. God, that fear, the worry, the stress, the anxiety, the weight of the world. God, I thank you that they're offering it up to you right now. God, that it's leaving. In Jesus' name, we give it to you. God, we offer it up to you. Lord, I thank you that the spirit of peace is resting on your people. God, the spirit of power. God, healing in every way. God, deliverance. A sound mind. I cast out fear and worry right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you. God, I thank you that you bless the work of their hands. God, that you bless them. And God, that you're giving them the spirit of power, God, to do what you've called them to do. God, I thank you that fear and worry and anxiety and stress is leaving right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Y'all stand to your feet, everybody. I hope you can say that it's been a good thing to be in the house of the Lord.